God is good, and he's good all the time, and today is no exception. Amen. No matter what you have experienced prior to your arrival on this campus today, it has not gone unnoticed by God. He's not of it, and he already has a plan for your out. Amen. Amen. I give honor to God and to my dear friends, Pastor Woodrow and Lady Francine. I think I say this every time I'm honored and graced to stand behind this desk, that if I lived in Atlanta, Woodrow Walker would be my pastor and Cross Culture would be my church. A lot of times we get so caught up, even in Christendom, in fad. We want to be current with the times. But I found out in, I think it was 1976, 75, I found out in 1975 that everything that gets big is not always healthy. Everything that gets big is not always healthy. I was in the grade, it was the end of the year, and all of our classes were over, but we still had to show up on campus. And we were just hanging out, and a young man by the name of Fred was playing around with a volleyball standard. We were at the back part of the gymnasium, and Fred was rolling that volleyball standard around, and he pushed it up to the edge of the door, and my foot was propped up on the threshold of the door. And I said to Fred, "Why don't you go put that thing up?" I was standing about like this, and Fred listened. He went to pull it back, and the pole came out, and the base fell on my foot. I hopped over to the edge of the sidewalk, and I propped up against a pole, and I asked my friend Leonardo to take off my tennis shoe. And when Leonardo unstrung my tennis shoe, and he pulled it off ever so gently, and I'm sitting there, and my foot just went. My parents had to believe in God because they sure didn't believe in doctors. That happened on a Tuesday. I didn't go to the doctor until that Saturday. That Saturday morning, I tried to get out of bed, and when I threw my legs off the bed, before my feet hit the floor, it felt like I had stepped into a million needles. I hollered, fell back on the bed, and my mama never came into the bedroom. She just said to my older brother, she said, "Lloyd, take him to the doctor." We get to the doctor. Doctor looks at my foot. He pulls out a pad, and he starts writing out. He never touches my foot. He starts writing out, and then he says, "Well, it's almost o'clock. Y'all go home, get some lunch, and around about 2 o'clock, y'all go over to the hospital, go into the emergency room, let them x-ray your foot. Your foot broke." They took x-rays and all of that. My foot was broke in four places, and four of the five toes on my foot was broken. But my foot was big. But it wasn't healthy. And the gentleman that came in, the nurse, whatever his title was, and back then it was a black guy. And we're talking Natchitoches Natchitoches Parish Hospital. That was unheard of back then. And so he came in and he said, he showed me the x-ray where my foot was broken, and he says, we're going to put a cast on it. I'm like, cool, I'm good with the cast, okay. But he didn't tell me that he had the set. My foot. And he grabbed my foot with both of his hands and he saw those bones in one motion. I wasn't saved yet. And my language had not changed yet. And some things came out of my mouth that was not edifying, but it explained how I felt and what I wanted to do to him. So for the rest of the summer, I was in a cast on crutches. My foot had gotten big, but it wasn't healthy. Amen. So don't get so caught up with the fad of today that everything's to be mega. Because there is an M word that Jesus touched that's not mega. Jesus ministered to the masses. So I just felt the need to say that, not to Pastor and Sister Francine, but to some of y'all who tend to gaze. Help me, Holy Ghost. So stop the gazing and focus on the vision, and you can reach the masses. Father, for the next moments in time, I want to thank you for having given me audience with you and now audience with this, your people. Father God, I'll ask you to afresh that I might speak as an oracle of God and minister with the ability that you give, that you might be glorified. I further ask you to anoint this, your people, that they may hear, perceive, and receive what the Spirit of God will say unto us today. And Father God, we will be ever mindful to give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. And Lord, when it's all said and done today, let at least three things be transpired in this place. First and foremost, Father God, you be glorified. Secondly, this body of believers edified. And lastly, Lord God, the devil terrified. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all that agree, say amen. I got my girlfriend with me. Hold on a second. I got my girlfriend with me. And if y'all don't know, she was the first girl I ever fell in love with. Back in 1977, yeah, 1977. I was just a little sophomore in high school, you know. But this little tall, pretty, sexy. Oh, come on, no, don't y'all walk up in here and act like you got these halos on your head. And I knew from the day I saw her that she was going to be my wife. And some things transpired. If y'all want to know the full story, you can ask Greg and Carol later, because we went over this with them on yesterday. And some things happened, miscommunication, a lack of communication happened, and we broke up. And she went on to marry a wonderful man. And they were the parents of three beautiful children whom Angela and I had the opportunity to babysit. And when Angela went into labor with Atira, Rosa was the nurse that was working labor and delivery the morning at around 5:35 when we arrived at the hospital. And active labor. Rosa worked her shift off at 7 a.m. She went home. God slowed the labor down. Rosa came back to work at, was it 11 that night? At 11 p.m. And she was in the nursery, working the nursery. At 11:50, Atira Janae was born. The first hands, other than the doctor, the first nurse's hands to touch Atira was Rosa. The first person who combed Atira's hair was Rosa. Gave her her first bath, Rosa. 36 years from November of 1978, God brought the two of us back together, and we got married on February the 14th of 2015. And in November of 1978, it seemed like God just pressed pause. 36 years later, he pressed play. We've not had one argument, not one disagreement. It was just, we always have been. So delay doesn't always mean denial. And what God intends, if you stick with him, he'll perform. So I got my girlfriend with me. And we don't just love each other, we actually like each other. There's a difference. You're commanded to love. Liking is an option. Oh, when you get in intense times of fellowship, Janet, when y'all get in 10 times of fellowship, you know who you live with, you, and he knows who. And when you have intense times of fellowship, y'all don't stop loving one another, but at those moments you don't like each other, and it's best for you just to separate for a moment, cool off, wind down, think about what you want to say, and discern whether or not is that the right thing to say. Right? And then you come back, talk and work it out, and then everything is good again. You loving one another and liking one another now. Okay. Ah, Jesus. God, since last June, when we came back with 5-4, and we had 3 years of conferences in 1 week. We covered all three themes that we had missed in that 1 week. And then, as I'm praying for about 5-4, said he gives me the theme, and then he tells me, I don't want you to have 5-4 this year. He says, I want you to do it next year. I said, okay. And I started missing my friends. And I told Rosa, I said, baby, I miss my friends. And she was like, well, where you want to go? I said, I want to go to Atlanta. And she was tossing out places, you know, Hawaii and all these. I want to go to Atlanta. Now, I know it might not mean that to y'all. You mean to tell me, she telling you can go to New York, you can go to California, you can go here, you can go there, you can go to Miami, and you go to Atlanta? It's the people that makes the place. And I love me some Pastor Walker and Lady Francine. I love me some Greg and Carol Johnson. I love the rest of y'all. Y'all my family. And if you don't miss family, there's a problem. No matter where life takes you, if you can't ever come back to family, there's a disconnect. There's a malfunction. None of this is in my notes. I hadn't even read scripture yet, have I? So I'm just circling. Okay. Because God's after something from you today. And this word is not, it's not shotgun. It's not just something that goes out and hit everything. This word is more rifle oriented. And I've been struggling with the title. I wanted to title it, Don't Abort the Process. That was one of the titles. And then I wanted to talk about calling it Life After Death. Because that applies to two different people. Life after death applies to the person that died, and life after death applies to the living that's still here, and how I navigate that after my loved one has died. I wanted to title that. And then as I was getting ready to get up, the Holy Spirit said, call the title of the message today, The Revelation of the Stationary Bike. So let's read the scripture, Genesis chapter number 35. And I know you Bible scholars and those of you that have been taught the Word of God, you can read Genesis 35. I know it ain't nothing about no a stationary bike in Genesis 35. And you're absolutely right. But let's look at the scripture anyway. Verse number 6 is where we'll start our reading. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, for thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as she was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. How many of you all have ever ridden a stationary bike? Now you have old school ones. Seat is not as comfortable. And you just have to get there and go. And you're moving, correct? You're moving. You're burning calories, correct? You're sweating, correct? Some of you all are cramping, correct? But you're not going anywhere. And now you have the Peloton and all of those things, and they are computerized and they can put you on a course in Italy. And they give you a screen and they have all of the view just if you are riding on the road or highway in Italy. And it has the tension that you get climbed, you pedal harder, and then when you go down a hill, it up. It makes you feel like You are actually there. But then all you have to do is look up from the screen and realize you hadn't gone anywhere. The Word of God says, and they journeyed from Bethel. And Jacob journeyed from Bethel. Bethel in the Hebrew means the house of God. It's that place where God appeared to Jacob. And after that encounter, it was called the house of God. Earlier in the chapter, they told Jacob to go back to Bethel. And when they got back there, and Jacob named the place El Bethel. And so it wasn't just the house of God, but now it's God over the house of God. And sometimes we have houses of God, but God ain't invited. That was a young man that was sitting poor. He's around about 12, 13 years old, and he was trying to get in this church. And they wouldn't let him in. The ushers wouldn't let him in because his clothes were tattered and raggedy. He was dirty, unbathed. But he wanted to get in the church, and he was sitting on the steps of the church crying, Sister Angela. He was crying. And this man walked up to him and said, son, why are you crying? And the little boy wipes from his face. He says, because they won't be in church. I'm just trying to get in church. They won't let me in. And then the man said to the young boy, he says, look at me. He says, Jesus, they won't let me in either. When we value tradition over the Word of God, Jesus, we make the Word of God affect because of our traditions. In other words, Jesus might say change. Jesus might say shift. Jesus might say don't do it this way. But because we this way for 25 years and help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus might say, well, make leadership change. And pastor in the instructions of Jesus and says, hey, look, I need you to step aside and we're going to let some. And at that moment, you don't care what Jesus is saying because you've been robbed of your position, so you think. Y'all did say it was a year of transformation means change. I heard somebody say that's permanent. Death, taxes, and change. You gonna die? No matter how good you look, no matter how healthy you, how careful you are, you gonna, some sooner than later, but you gonna. As a matter of fact, you weren't born living, you was born dying. But we don't like to talk about death. We prepare for death. So we don't life insurance. And we leave all that debt on family. And now they got to fuss and fight because lack of preparation. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. We don't like to talk about death because when we start a conversation, we get defensive. And so what you trying to say? You want me to die? No, I want you to live, but in case you die, I want to keep living. The revelation of the stationary bike. You go get on that stationary bike And you pedal and you pedal and you're watching how many calories you burn, you're watching how many miles you've ridden, not realizing you haven't gone anywhere. Jacob leaves the house of God, and they are in process of progression to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem, and the Hebrew meaning of Ephrath is the place of fruitfulness. So I'm headed to the place, they're headed to the place of fruitfulness, and then tragedy strikes. Rachel goes into labor, and the Bible says she had hard labor. And her midwife said to her, "You're gonna have this son also." No, Rachel only had two. She had Joseph, and now she has who she wants to call Benoni, who she calls Benoni. Now, one thing you cannot do is, in the place of your pain, name that moment after your pain, because Benoni means the son of my sorrow or the son of my pain. And oftentimes we want to mark that place where we had tragedy, that place where we had problems, that place where our loved one died, and then we don't want to move. And what I mean is we don't stop going to church. We don't stop paying our tithe. We do that. That's the treadmill. But I don't want to move forward in my life. Not realizing that death happens to all of us and will happen to all of us at some point and at some time. And God does not have to give us a forewarning. Because Jacob had just left church. He just left the presence of God. Could not God have said to him, "Jacob, while you are en route to Bethlehem, Ephrath, while you're going, I'm going to take Rachel"? That would have been easier. But God is not obligated to tell you everything he's going to do. And we're angry today because God took something from me. How many of y'all love Pastor Walker? I see your hand, but I don't hear your mouth. How many of y'all love Pastor Walker? Now watch this. How many of you all believe Pastor Walker loves you? Yeah. Pastor, would you take me? Yeah, take it from me. Take it. Take it. Okay. Okay, now, you were struggling over it because now I want it. I want to hold on to it. But he took it from me. Now you go have a seat. Keep it. Now, how many of y'all love Pastor Walker? Yeah. Now, how many of y'all believe Pastor Walker loves you? Yeah. Now, let's just say Pastor Walker is God. The hymnal represents your loved one whom you say God. Well, where's the hymnal? Where's the hymnal? Who has the hymnal? So who has your loved one? So you think that God can't do as good as you? in loved one and keeping your loved one? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Because we say we believe God. We love God until God takes what's his. And we get mad at him. You took my child. You took my husband. You took my wife. And I'm on the treadmill. I'm still going to church. And when I pull up in the parking lot, I fix a smile. And when I'm with the believers, I'm oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, man, God is good. And then when I in the car and hit, you don't talk to him no more. I heard one of our most preachers in the United States make a statement on YouTube today. And he said that he's a songwriter and singer and all of that good stuff, as well as a pastor. In 2012, God broke his heart. And I do know God has a way of breaking us. But it's never to hurt us. When God breaks us, it's always to help us. Matter of fact, when God breaks us, it means you're not fashioned like he wants you and I to be fashioned. And so when he breaks us, his intent is to heal us in the way that he wants us to be. And one thing God does not say is, do I have the permission to break you? He just breaks you. And the man said, God broke his heart. And I'm thinking, now, somebody needs to correct that. You can't leave that out there. Because then you got other people that are hurting that's going to go, well, God broke my heart too. So you mean to tell me that when a Christian dies, somebody that we love, died that we loved, and they die, that you and I love them more than God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, if you believe in life after death, death is a graduation. Now, I didn't know. I didn't know none about what all y'all had planned today. Matter of fact, I just wanted to come to Atlanta. Pastor Walker called me, told me what all he had to do and all that stuff. I said, look, man, don't try to put yourself out. We still coming to Atlanta. He said, well, bro, you know when you come, I want you to pray. I said, man, I'm coming to Atlanta. I just need a break. He said, I understand that. He said, sometimes you just need a fresh wind. And I was coming to just get a fresh wind. He called me last Monday. Hey, bro, just want you to know, I preached last Sunday. We had like a youth Sunday. I preached last Sunday. He said, so you know you up. And I was like, I just wanted to rest. I wanted to come and hear him. And I got off the phone and I said, now, Lord, you know I just want to be with my friend. And the Lord starts speaking this word to me. I'm like, okay, God. It was only a couple of hours later, God started giving me the word. I'm like, okay. And so, suffer in silence while pretending in public. Stop being fake. I tell people that spend time with me, anything that you do around me can possibly subject material. So we were at brunch, dinner and lunch. Well, it was between dinner, so I don't know what that is. I know it between breakfast and lunch. That's brunch. Lunch and dinner, I don't know. Lena? A snack? No, it wasn't no snack. It wasn't no snack, I promise you. It wasn't no. But I told Rosa, when we started dating, I told her, you got to meet Greg and Carol. You got to meet. Carol's from Jamaica, and I've been trying to get her to talk like a Jamaican, you know, use that accent, and she just will not. Oh, and yesterday, we were at Lena, and she started talking like a native Jamaican. She was, and it came out. I said, that's the first time. And she said, oh, it was fake. I went, oh, yeah. I knew God was going to work it in some way. Amen. They're on their way. Now, I want you to see something in the scripture. Rachel dies. She gives birth. And in giving birth, let me pause and celebrate every mother in here. I know Lady Francine is going to preach next Sunday on Mother's Day, but let me just thank you all. Because us fathers, it's an activity of love in the creating. I'm going to try to be, you know, PG with this. It's an activity of love, but you have to labor and grow and nurture that child. You have to give birth. Your body transform. It changes. Some of you get prettier, some of you get, I'm not going to say the word, but I'm going to give you an acronym for U-G-L-Y. You got to love yourself. So rather than calling somebody, word. When you see them, you say, you got to love yourself. Things, noses swell, all kind, skin gets bad, all kind of stuff happens. For you mothers who are pregnant, and I don't know why they say pregnant with child, what else you gonna have? Some of you future scholars, when you hear, oh, she had a child, find out something else that they could possibly have other than a and I'm saying that because this woman dies in birth. We don't realize how close it is that you could come to death giving us a baby. And then if you're a father and you have a little girl, and that little girl just dotes all over daddy, wraps daddy around her little finger, daddy will move heaven and earth for that little girl. And the mama's sitting there like, I had that little thing. Mothers, thank y'all. Thank you. Even if you had the child and you didn't, thank you. Thank you. Because a lot of times we get stuck as children because we think that that we missed out on something and all of that, but you're here. And if you're here, that means God has a purpose. So it doesn't matter how you got here. Get over how you got here and rejoice in the fact that I am here. Just remember, you wasn't the first child that was born in scandal. Look at our Savior. Can I use a modern day term? Mary got knocked up by the Holy Ghost. Now, and only Mary and Joseph knew that that was of the Holy Ghost. Everybody else thought that when she went up to visit Elizabeth, she got up there, started fooling around. So people was talking. That's all right there. And she was about 14 years old. Look, there go that little womanless thing. That's an old Louisiana term. I know this, y'all from Georgia, y'all Georgian people, y'all know something about womanless. Fast tail. You know that one. See, and mama them told you, daddy them told, don't hang around them little womanless girls. Don't hang around them little fast girls. Now, you young people, y'all go home and ask mama and grandmama and them about this, you know, because you're like, what Pastor Johnny talking about womanless? That it means it's a young girl trying to act like a woman. And they warned us against that. Stay away from them. But you're here. And if you're here, that means you have purpose. And you are not here, contrary to what they said, by accident. I'm the product of a child born out of wedlock. And I know I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen for the glory of God. I'm not going to let how I got here define me. Help me, Jesus. So thank you, mothers. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all of the sacrifices that you all make that go unnoticed, that go unmentioned. It may go unmentioned by everybody else, but it does not go unmentioned by God. And isn't it interesting the way Paul writes this in Scripture? He says, God is not unrighteous to forget. And he says, your labor of love, which you do minister and have ministered and do minister unto the saints. God doesn't, he knows. And it's just a moment that he'll bring you to your place of fruitfulness. And the scripture says in Genesis 35, that was but just a little way from Bethel, to Ephrath. That was a little way to the place of fruitfulness. But tragedy struck. And Jacob buried in the way, the scripture says, in the way to Ephrath. But then the Bible says, and Jacob journeyed to the Tower of Edar. He never made it to Ephrath. He never made it to the place of fruitfulness because Rachel had died. So don't abort the process. God's trying to get you somewhere. And he's very much aware. Your loved one didn't take him by surprise. He wasn't sitting on his throne and said, hold on a second, I didn't see that coming. So what do you do with life after death? Number one, when it comes to death, don't curse it, don't nurse it, and don't rehearse it. When it comes to you dealing and processing the death of a loved one, don't curse it. What do you mean, Pastor John? This is what I mean. Don't get angry at God because God took what was his. Let me see all of you that are saved, born again, on your way to heaven. All right, all right. Okay, you can put your hands down. All right, let me see. Now, are you sure? Don't be fake. You sure? Pastor Johnny, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I may not have everything I want, but I'm going. Let me see. Wave your hand at me. Okay. So, when your loved one gave his or her life to Jesus, at that moment, your loved one received eternal life. Nowhere in the scripture does Jesus promises us life without death on earth. Matter of fact, he didn't come to save us from physical death. What? He didn't come to save us from physical death. He came us from eternal death with his separation from God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. If the rapture does not take place in your or my lifetime on earth, we experience physical death. But when you receive this, you get victory over physical death because he gives you eternal life. See, eternity is not on time. Eternity is no time at all. So you live in eternity and have been there for 1,000 years. And he says, it's just like a day. And then he can make a day seem like 1,000 years because it's eternity. So while you're trying to make sure and deal with life, make sure you got eternal life squared away. See, what you don't want to do is enter eternity without eternal life. You don't want to enter eternity with relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, I'm a good person, good people. Young man came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to gain eternal life? Jesus said, you know the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor and honor thy father and mother. And he says, all those I've done since my youth. And he says, it's saying, you lack. He said, go and sell all that you got and give it to the poor, and then come follow me. The Bible says the young man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. It wasn't so much that he had great possessions had him. and he'd rather keep his possessions than receive the one that gave him the possessions. Watch, not only Darius, watch this. Look at what the man gave up. The man gave up an opportunity to be an apostle. Jesus said, come, tell, give it to the poor, come follow me. He could have been one of the. So when you're trying to hold on to stuff and God's trying to give stuff away, that simply means he's trying to get something more greater to you than what you have. But you're looking at what you got. Oh, you just don't know how long it took me to get this in. You don't know how long I had to work in. And God is saying, well, I gave you the ability to get that. And tell me you valuing it more than? Am I preaching? Am I helping anybody? They buried her in the way to fruitfulness. And because she died, Jacob never made it to that place. He watched it. He pitched his tent at the Tower of Edar to see Ephrath in the distance, but he never made it there. The Holy Ghost saying, get off the stationary bike. Get off. Your loved one died. Not being insensitive, but you stopped. You're not moving forward. You're not advancing. I know from what I speak because I've had a wife to die. Rosa has had a husband to die. So we don't just talk from a theological or social aspect. We experience. I know what it is. In the bed. And it feels like your wife is getting in the bed with you. I know what it is to be in the house. And you hear somebody say, Johnny. And you know ain't nobody in the house. But you hear your spouse's call your name. And you try to tell that to folk. And they go, yeah, oh, uh-huh. And then they, oh, he must be going crazy. That's not a losing their mind. That's you're not losing your mind. That's a process of life. When you have heard somebody call you for 20, 25 plus years, that's in your memory. And you got to watch how you try to comfort people who, because it ain't like divorce. And expect if you loved the institution of marriage, you love being married. Because you got some people who don't love, didn't like being married. And they go, I don't know why. Why you married anyway? I love being married. I still love being married. But you got some folk that just, well, good, you can do whatever you want to do. Now you can travel and do this and do that by yourself. See, miserable people like to make other people miserable. Miserable people don't like to be alone. Y'all know the saying, misery company? Because they want you to be miserable too. Is that my time up there? Whoo, got to whip the devil with a shorter stick. Jesus. God is saying to you that are here those of you that have experienced loss, that's watching by live stream or on Facebook or whatever medium you're using, God is saying, get off of the stationary bike. Yes, you're exercising, but you're not going anywhere. You have stopped. And when you stop, you get stuck. And then when you get stuck, you get stymied. So now you no longer have the ability to move. Nor do you have the desire. God says, I'm not through with you. There's still a place of fruitfulness I want to bring you to. Oh my God. When Angela died, I was like, I don't think anybody, ain't nobody going to love me like Angela loved me. Ain't nobody going to love me like that. Uh-uh. And then I said, look, it took me 14 years to get you right. I don't know if I have that kind of time to invest in another woman. You know, got to learn you and learn another woman all over again. And, you know, they're layered. They're like an onion. They are layered. You know, what you like now, 2 years from now, I don't like that no more. We just finally figured out what your favorite cologne was. So on Mother's Day, we pop up with your favorite cologne. I don't buy that no more. Where you going with that? Y'all layered, man, and it takes time to learn. That's why the Bible says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Spend time with that woman to know her. Listen to her. Eavesdrop on her conversations. Look at the magazines she's looking at. Watch how she goes and where she goes to shop. Go with her. My favorite football team on. My favorite, the basketball. I'm going to golf. And you wonder why you're missing it. If you study, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. The word knowledge is a compound word. It deals with know and then ledge or ledger. In other words, when you see something that she likes, you make a ledger of it. You write it. And now you're getting to know her. So when Greg and Carol would call me and ask me, well, Johnny, where you guys want to go eat at? Because I know Rosa. Rosa doesn't like a lot of meat. Vegetables. So I said, anywhere that's got vegetables, she's good. Well, I'm going where I want to go. Oh, you selfish thing, you. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get in trouble. Don't be like this real popular preacher that has passed on to be with the Lord that told his wife years ago, he said, asked her what size she was, and she told she was like an 8 or something like that, and he said, that's all I'm going to ever buy. And so now she got to keep her body in an 8, and she pushed out them big head children. And you want that to stay an 8? You put that woman in bondage. Well, Pastor Man, you right now you acting a little soft. Yeah, but I got a cushion. And see, when I want snuggle time and cuddle time and that kind of time, I don't get no resistance. And if truth be told, I'm just let y'all fill in the blanks on that one. See, when you, I told my family, I told my church, I told my 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 previous in-laws. I said, look, you guys will watch Rosa and I, and you'll watch how I care for her and all of that. And the temptation that the enemy will bring to you is that, well, Pastor loves Rosa more than he loved Angela. And I said, and that's not to understand it. The truth is, with my 25 years with Angela, with that experience, I know how to love Rosa better. And both, and that, hey, look, the most important thing is what you do with the time you have. So we don't argue. You looking back at the clock? Can't believe you're gonna sit there while I'm preaching. Look up at the clock like, it's time for you to shut up. She said she was trying to give me some more time. And looking at the clock? When have anybody added by look? Take no thought for your life. Who can add one stature to your cubit to your stature? I love you too. It ain't a thing you can do about it. And she evidently worked. Somebody wear more minutes. I'm like, thank you. There's a passage of scripture that always I rejoice with it, but it perplexes me. When it says, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I'm like, God, it wasn't so much that you took in what your son had to go through, but what he was accomplishing, God was pleased with it. Remember when John baptized Jesus and when he brought Jesus about the water, and then a voice spoke from heaven, and he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. What had Jesus done to please him? Jesus hadn't worked one miracle, but said, this is my beloved son, I'm well pleased. What had he done? He simply did. When we obey him, we please him. When we obey him, we please him. So whatever life has, well, let me change that. Whatever God has in store for your life, whatever that is, walk that path out in obedience. And sometimes it may not bring the initial riches that you look for, but God will bring you to a place of fruitfulness. God will bring you to a place of abundance. God will bring you to a place of exposure that you have never thought in your wildest dreams he would do. And I hear God saying, I'm going to literally blow their minds. Can y'all receive that today? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto by his Spirit. So if you feel with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that means you have four languages. English, Japanese, and what was the other? Spanish, and then that heavenly. Heaven got some attention. God gives you a language whereby you talk to him and the devil don't understand. See, he doesn't just want you to be educated. He wants you to be educated with power. So that you can take the education that you have, marry it, couple it with the power, and watch him set you on fire so the world can burn. God. Is there anybody here that made the decision based on the word of God that you've heard that you're getting off that stationary bike? Well, I'm going to get off of it soon, Lord. No, today. Okay. Start moving forward again. God knows how to redeem time. God knows how to redeem time. I told you, I didn't think. Get that iPad, that towel for me. I know he don't look like it, but that's my nephew. Because he's married to my niece. And never tell you that they're related to me by blood. Because that's not why they're connected. Listen, now let me have a towel. Thank you. But with you, the Holy said, he's supposed to be with you. I never said anything to him. I never said anything to them. They were serving at another church, serving faithfully. I was rejoicing in that fact. And then when I looked up, and they were sitting in the sanctuary. In this walk, you'll have some delays. But sometimes it does delay because there's some other people that he got to get right. And if he brings y'all together and they not right, there'll be more of a hurt than a help. And then sometimes he'll promise you something and you ain't ready for it. So he has to let you go through circumstances and situations to mature you. So when you go, when y'all in challenge, trials, and hard times, don't get sad. What did I just say? Now, I know I'm talking to these, but the rest. Wave at me, Chris Brown. I remember your name? Yeah. I made that association. They ain't that long one. He giving lap dances on the stage. Oh, don't y'all look at me like. Is it going up? Oh, time now. Oh, you ain't give me no time. No more time. That's the regular time. I looked at it and said, oh, two, it's 12:11 now. You are fired. You ain't my timekeeper no more. I'm trying to stop. I really am. But y'all don't understand what you all mean to this generation. You all are like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Daniels of the day. That no matter what kind of challenges and stuff, what kind of tests, I'm not going to bow my knee to the world. I'm not going to lose my conviction to God. If you can keep that stand, then God will stand up for you. Now, Chris, was it something with music? and it had something to do with production? And if I'm not, am I correct in saying that you got an associate? Steve, you believe I'm a man of God? On perfecting your craft. There's a sound that needs to be heard in the earth realm, but you're only going to get it from heaven. So when others spend that major of time on the instrument, all of that kind of stuff, and trying to match the boards and mixings and all that stuff, you spend the majority of your time in there. And watch God give you a sound from heaven. Don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. He's going to give you a sound from heaven that even secular artists are going to want you to do stuff on their. And he's saying, don't turn them down. Because God is going to put the sound of heaven in that. In the background and on that track. And while they're on stage, heaven is touching hearts. What you doing? Yeah, you. Dentistry? You in school, out of school, you finished school? What? What year? Senior? If you don't talk, how you gonna see people my I hear the Holy Ghost saying, it's a passion, but it ain't purpose. You're going to discover purpose while in dentistry. You hear me? Now, I'm not saying you don't get your and all that. I'm just saying that is going to be the catalyst that leads you to purpose. I hear the Holy Ghost saying that you're a problem solver. And he's going to use all of that for you to solve problems. See, people will pay you for solving a problem. Don't be looking at me like that. You sitting up here, you pull it, just pulling on. I'm trying to see. Like this. There are things that you can be taught, but there's only one thing that can be caught, and that's the anointing. Keep yourself around your mentor so you can, or your mentee, so you can catch that person's anointing. You smile, somewhat on the quiet side. Is that right? Is that right? Smile, somewhat on the quiet side, but you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. It's like when you wake up in the morning, humans go on alert. She up, y'all. Now, the thing about having a mentor or mentee is that they want to impart their spirit on you, not that personality. So when you catch it, you got to work it with your personality and not try to work it with theirs. And that's sort of like David and Saul. David had his slingshot. Saul had his armor. To put his armor on David, but it fit. David says, I know what to do with this sling. I work this. Just use what he anoints. Did y'all receive from the word? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that your word does not return unto you void. It will accomplish that which you sent it to do. It will prosper in the thing whereunto you sent it. So, Father, I thank you that even without a physical altar calling like that, you've saved, you've delivered, you've healed, you've set free, you've provided, you've given peace, you have restored joy, you have renewed hope in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.